Hello, my name's Melissa, I'm an addict. Oh, very nervous addict right now. What's quite interesting actually is that my using took me to this building for another reason. I actually spent time here in the night shelter. I spent a lot of my using homeless because my drug of choice was very flammable. So I took solvents. And it's a bit weird sitting here because this meeting, actually, when I first came to NA, this was a big part of my early recovery. I came here every week and it's just really strange sitting in here again. Just, you know, all the chairs are gone and there's just little mats everywhere. And that's kind of where my using took me. It took me to a place where, you know, I didn't wash myself. I didn't care about any relationships that I had with anyone. I didn't have a relationship with myself. You know, I gave everything up, you know, just to get high. So I've been around 5 years. My clean time is 5 years now. I've been coming to NA for 8 years. And I mean, I'm not gonna spend too much time on my using because, you know, it took me here. I spent many years destroying myself. And, you know, I used to think that, you know, my early life was the reason why I kind of used drugs. And now that I don't actually use anything, I actually realize that the problem is my perception. The problem is the way I feel about myself. The problem is how I perceive myself with other people in terms of interpersonal relationships, wondering kind of where my place is. I have very low self-esteem, actually, and I overthink. And, you know, despite having low self-esteem, I still want to kind of be the center of attention, though it's a little uncomfortable at this point in time. I kind of stumbled into these rooms in, I think it was 2009, and I'd had a child. My child had been taken away from me through care proceedings. I'd lost him. He'd gone to my cousin under special guardianship, and, you know, within a week of leaving him, the borough that was responsible for me discharged their duty of care to house me, because I went straight back to the solvents, and I was street homeless again. And I wasn't allowed to have any contact with my son. Somebody dragged me to an NA meeting while I was pregnant, and I thought, you guys were a bit strange. I heard the God word, thought, you know, this is a bit of a creepy place. I never kind of want to come back here. And, you know, and in the midst of kind of being homeless and not seeing my child, you know, for some reason I ended up in prison, held on remand. I kind of came out on a different planet because I didn't leave the room for 28 days, and I clearly was on a different planet. I don't have the right type of personality for prison. It was very traumatizing for me. I came out, I was in a women's hostel, and I tried smoking weed. You know, I switched to another drug. I said I wasn't gonna take solvents, but quickly I could see that, you know, it was gonna take me to the same place. So I ran to Houston. You know, and, you know, was stuck in victim mentality back in those days, and shared a newcomer's time that, you know, my child had been taken and the world was such an awful place. And I was met, actually, with nothing but, you know, compassion and love. And I have a lot of gratitude to NA for that, because actually, you know, there isn't a lot of that in my life. And, you know, I was taken under people's wings and encouraged to do 90 meetings in 90 days, which I did do. And I started to kind of develop a relationship with myself through developing relationships with other people. I got service commitments and, you know, one day turned into another and then another and then another. My journey of recovery has been very bumpy. I mean, if you saw me, you know, when I first came in, you know, I used to wear every keyring I got on my bag, and, you know, you used to hear me, you know, from the keyrings on the bags. And I was very proud to be a member, you know, of NA, you know, and I ran around telling anyone that I thought who had a drug problem, you know, about NA and how helpful, you know, the program was. And, you know, through coming to these meetings, I was able to, well, I've been a resident of with the same borough for, you know, the last 8 years, which is a world record for me, considering two boroughs have already discharged their duty of care to house me. So coming here has, you know, helped me to maintain housing. It's helped me to start to develop a more healthier relationship with myself, because I'm quite hard on myself. And, you know, the things I tell myself, if I heard somebody else saying that to someone, or even to themselves, I probably would encourage them not to. It's been interesting. My journey's been interesting. My son died just before I turned 9 months clean. So, you know, it's been hard, because I wanted to get my child back. I wanted to make amends for, you know, leaving him. And I really didn't get a chance to do that on any level. But the people around me from these rooms held me, you know, and they carried me. And I was able to kind of get through that period just because of their love and support. And I mean, my using, I think I started using when I was 9, and my cousin, she died, and you know, we were the same age, we were very close, we made all of these life plans, you know, and I kind of feel like my life was technically okay until she died, and then I was suddenly just left in the world without, you know, her, and without, well, I didn't know how to continue with the plans without her. So I just wanted to be where she was. So I'd kind of dedicated between, you know, 9 and 20, 21 when I got pregnant with my child, you know, to trying to die. And, you know, I didn't finish school. Like I said, I spent a lot of time on the streets, and you know, all I kind of wanted to do was die. There was nothing that I wanted, and people, you know, tried to talk to me, people tried to help. I went to 2 rehabs. Unfortunately, you know, for me, I did go to a 12-step rehab, actually. I got kicked out, you know, after I think 2 weeks. I escaped and walked 5 miles to Sandwich to a foster placement that I was in. And, you know, I remember the guy, he was quite, you know, an interesting character. But, you know, the steps were on the wall, and I didn't take any notice of it. So I think it's quite interesting that I've gone around in a circle. You know, I went to a 12-step rehab, didn't really take any notice of it, and then ended up, you know, in a 12-step fellowship. Mm. After having my child, my life kind of changed, because, you know, it wasn't about me, you know, anymore. But unfortunately, you know, I spent a lot of time damaging myself, which kind of got a lot of negative attention. I threw myself off a building when I was 18. I broke everything apart from my spine. And, you know, some interesting labels were assigned to me. And those were kind of the reasons why, you know, my son and I were separated. And I mean, if you spoke to me then, I would have said I would have been a great mother. But actually now, you know, my son died in 2010. So it's 2018. I mean, I can see now why they were concerned, you know. And it's taken me a long time to be able to kind of see my part in situations. That's the great thing kind of about where I am now. You know, I think I spent a long time kind of using the negative life experiences that I had to kind of justify any kind of anything that I did. And it was poor me, poor me, poor me, poor me. And that's kind of how I lived and breathed, and everything was everybody else's fault. So I've actually kind of got to a point in my life, which is painful, to kind of acknowledge that I have a part to play in situations. And but I feel like that's good. So like I said, my journey in recovery has been very interesting. I've done all service at group level. I haven't been brave enough to, you know, go above group level. Like I said, at first I was in love with the fellowship. There's times when I'm actually just really resentful, and I don't really want to come to meetings, and I don't really want to sit down and listen to anyone's stuff, and, you know, I'm annoyed, you know, I'm an addict. I don't want to be an addict. It's, you know, it's really annoying to come here. But at the moment, I'm grateful, and that's it. I just swing round, and, you know, different kind of how can I phrase it? Yeah, I just feel differently about the fellowship at different times. I mean, gratitude is probably the main thing that I've got from coming here, because I tried many things to stop using. And I think that drugs, when I first got here, I thought drugs was actually the problem. Drugs is not a problem. Drugs was actually what I kind of... It was what I used as a solution to the actual problem. The problem is the way that I think. The problem's the way that I perceive things. Anything, you know, anything can be used to change the way I feel. And you know, there's a part of me that finds it very hard to kind of sit with myself. And coming to this fellowship has, you know, it's helped me find identification, because, you know, people here can understand, you know, kind of how I feel. And I don't, you know, I don't have to, I don't, well, they don't, well, a lot of people don't think I'm a lunatic, I don't think, but people outside of the room sometimes look at me as if I'm strange. So it's nice that I can come here and I can kind of share about something that's going on, and somebody can come to me and say, you know, I identify with that, and they can kind of offer solutions to that. So, yeah, it's been an interesting journey, and I think the greatest thing about being here is that I'm learning to kind of develop a more loving relationship with myself. I had a lapse in 2012, and you know, if I spoke to anyone then, I would have said that it was about an allergic reaction that I had to some medicine. But really, I had all of the tools in place, and it was a choice for me, you know. And I'm grateful, you know, that happened, because it actually, you know, because when I first came in, I thought I would never use again. So lapsing gave me a healthy fear of going back out there. So I mean, all I can say is that I live somewhere now, and I am employable. I do work. I'm a student. I've got an undergraduate's degree, and I'm studying a master's now. And I mean, it's not really about outside things, but these are things that, you know, remaining off drugs or staying drug free, perhaps is a better way of saying it, has enabled me to do. I'm very much interested in kind of working with people, and I'm trying to work towards that, but I still need to kind of work on the relationship that I have with myself. So I mean, like I said, you know, I bumped into somebody the other day at the library who worked at this day centre for young people that I went to, and he asked me what I was doing with my life, you know, and I told him. And it was actually quite interesting, because if I really think back, you know, to that person, you know, that you could smell before you saw, because, you know, I didn't even watch, and look at where I am now, you know, if somebody told me that this would be my life, I would never have believed it. So I did actually get a life that was beyond my wildest dreams, as they say in the literature. And I can still be, you know, dissatisfied with that at times, but I have gratitude for my life now. I don't want to die, you know, and if I do feel like I want to die, I understand that that's not about wanting to die. That's about wanting the situation that I'm in to be different, and not exactly understanding, you know, how to change it. So, I mean, all I can stress is gratitude for this fellowship, really. I feel very blessed to have found it, and, you know, I feel accepted here and loved, really. I'm loved by a lot of people that I've met in these rooms, and the love and care that I've got has helped me to learn to love and care for myself. So I would just say, you know what, if you didn't hear anything, you know, there's plenty of meetings in London, we're very lucky, you know, go to another meeting, and thank you for letting me share.
Amazing.